Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy Old Year. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and this is the last show of the year. This is the last show of Catholic Answers Live for the year 2023. Soon on your checks, you'll have to be writing the year 2024. Everybody in the studio looks like, I didn't write any checks in 2023. Why would I do it in 2024? But some people are still writing checks.
I have a checkbook.
Yeah, we have a checkbook. Missy and I have a checkbook.
Of
I don't know
my
how much is in it.
Four sons, one has a checkbook.
Really?
Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he a Luddite?
Which of your books does he have?
A checkbook. All right, back to what we were doing. Catholic Answers, we do a survey at the end of each year, and we ask our listeners via the Society 315 and the Radio Club, both of which you can join. You can find out, just send us an email to radio@catholic.com. We'll explain them both to you. But thousands of people are members of Radio Club, and thousands more are members of our Society 315, and there's some overlap there. And we just ask them, like, who's the Catholic person of the year? What's the big news story of the year? And then we ask them their feelings about things. And that's the part that
it's important to get in touch with your feelings.
Yeah, we're getting in touch with our listeners' feelings right now. And so we asked them about, how do you feel about your parish? How do you feel about the overall health of the Catholic Church? How do you feel about
what's your relationship like with your mom and dad? I mean, just
we did not. That's for their therapist. We did not ask them that. And then we asked about the state of the world, the state of the USA. Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check, and me. We are the flannel panel, and we discuss the answers that we get. So we just did the life of your parish, and people gave it an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. They got an 8 for their parish. They like their parish. They're happy with their parish. This does remind me of a survey that was done by Pew Research, I think, or it might have been CARA a few years ago. How do you feel about your pastor? How do you feel about your bishop? Or no. How did it go? Was it that one? And people liked their pastor, didn't like their bishop. Or do you all recall if I'm getting this right or no? I'm going to say I'm getting it right then. All right.
No, I don't remember, but yeah, that sounds good.
Well, there was the report that came out from the Catholic University of America that talked about the relationship between bishops and their priests.
That one's a little more contentious.
Yeah, quite contentious. And bishops thought they were very much, in favor by their, that their priests were very much in favor of what they were doing.
And the priests weren't.
No, they weren't.
Weren't you saying we have that going on in this office?
We don't tell Chris about this. We don't talk to Chris about it.
He's no. Like, things are going well.
That's like, that's for the Zoom meeting where we all darken our we turn our lights down and we get in a Zoom meeting where you can't tell who we are. Yeah. And we talk about Chris Check. And
you put the scrambler
don't
on.
Don't do that live on the air.
You put the I'm using the scrambler.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put it out on Front Street.
Yeah. Right. Don't put them on Front Street. We've already established, do not put people on Front Street. All right, so, but they had a positive view of their parish. Do you want to talk about that anymore, or should we go on the overall health of the church?
Well, we mentioned a few possible reasons for that. One, people tend to like their local whatever,
right?
Their local congressman, their local, their city, all that,
yeah.
Which is good and healthy and normal. Two, there are probably people like me who find the really good parish and go to that.
Right.
But three, we don't want to diminish the fact that parishes may actually be forming. You know, a healthy parish is more likely to form a Catholic Answers listener than an unhealthy parish. So that relationship goes in both directions.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. So this might be self-selecting in a certain sense that I love my parish. This is the fifth one I've been on, but I love this one that I finally found.
I'm saying, like, even if you have two totally ordinary people who aren't parish hopping, and one grows up in a really bad parish where they're not being spiritually nourished or fed the faith in any meaningful way, that person may not even know to look for Catholic Answers.
Oh, I see. Self-selecting in that way.
Who's in a healthier kind of parish environment might have that curiosity piqued in a different way. So parishes are probably doing good work that we're not directly noticing, but are the recipients of.
I see. So you, but everyone's analysis here seems to feel that this is inflated. What if it's not inflated? What if people parish?
That, in that example, I'm just saying, like, maybe Catholic Answers people go to better than average parishes. Or you're just saying all parishes are that good.
Maybe people like their parish. I mean, like, it may be the case that Catholics are just generally happy with their parish.
Yeah, I don't know that would be an unqualified good, given the state of parishes.
Yeah, actually,
you know what I mean. Like,
I see what you're saying because you're not happy with the state of their parish.
So, I mean, you're right. If your parish is hemorrhaging members, and you're just like, this is fine.
I love it. Yeah, right. That's true. That's a good point. Maybe a little more critique would be in order.
I'd like to refer people to another article in The Lamp. In fact, this one that just came out by Matthew Walter, who's been on the show. And it's called Why Does Anyone Go to Mass?
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
It's superb. And I think that he identifies a lot of reasons people go to Mass that in concert with the Michael Hanby article that I mentioned in the first hour have nothing to do with the transcendent. It's sort of a social obligation that they're fulfilling, or they're one of the many people that have been crammed into the sanctuary to perform some function in the
they're singing in the choir, or they're the extraordinary minister.
Sure. And Walter's sense is that the number of people who are there to worship God, offer this transcendent, this sacrifice, and have this understanding of the transcendent is a minority of the people in the parish. So I think you could actually be very, very happy with your parish, because it's fulfilling this thing that it's doing for you socially or culturally,
right,
which is not its principal function.
I have to say,
I'm not saying this is true of Catholic.
You're tending towards the negative.
This
here.
Is not true of Catholic Answers listeners. But I think you could ask many, to Joe's point, I think you could ask Catholics all over the United States, are you happy with your parish? And most of them would say yes.
Because they weren't, at a certain point, they would just stop going. They'd go somewhere else.
And most of them would say yes.
Okay.
I mean, if you ask most people in a restaurant, do you like this restaurant? Well, probably. I'm here.
Yeah, right.
So it doesn't really tell us a lot about how good it is.
Okay, excellent points. All right, how about the overall health of the church? Where do you think people came down? On a scale of 1 to 10, Catholic Answers listeners rated the overall health of the Catholic Church where? What would you two say?
So
they gave their local parish an 8. I'm going to go 6.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say 5, simply because the ambiguity and chaos that's affecting the leadership of the church is just front and center in people's minds.
Well, I'm going to show you some evidence from the poll that it is actually front and center in people's minds. People are not happy with the leadership of the church.
No,
our listeners are.
No, and so I would say 5, maybe a 4.
It's 5. The
Kill
overall
me, Joe.
Health of the church is a 5. Killing you, Joe.
Yeah, by the way, that may be optimistic.
That the church is in a 5?
Yeah, I mean, health is such a... we're going to have to define what this means and all that, because there are great things that are happening.
There are great things.
The Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, have opened a foundation in Springfield, Missouri. They have an incorrupt at their mother house in Gower. Clear Creek continues to get more and more members. The fraternity ordained more priests than ever. Really, truly wonderful things are happening.
I see a common thread to all of
Boy, I was going to say, by as much. But here's another
thing. As long as the tongue is Latin.
belief in God? Is that the common thread?
Well, Latin is not does not correspond with belief in God.
Catholic Answers
has... Catholic
Answers is reaching more people than ever, and we speak English.
But also, how would you rate this if you were in Argentina? How would you rate this if you were in Africa? I mean, the church is big, and
what do we mean by the church in some ways? Like, are we thinking institutionally?
And what do we mean by health? Very interesting, Cy. Africa in the news this morning, or how am I supposed to say this?
This will be like
last week or whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
I
yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. In the news recently.
Recently in the news, the reaction from a number of African dioceses to...
Synod on Synodality?
Bishop conferences. No, the thing...
Oh, to the blessing thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
We're not doing
this. Which I think Pope Francis would support, because he's very much into decentralizing... right?
He is.
Isn't that a thing that he talks about a lot? Is like
he talks about this.
Go out to the margins and push out from the center.
The Ciro Malabar controversy suggests on the ground there's an actual tension. Right.
His deep interest.
I'm just trying to keep the Africans in communion with the chair of St. Peter.
His deep interest in an obscure diocese in the East Texas suggests to me that decentralization is not chief among his interests.
How about the state of the world on a scale of 1 to 10? How did our listeners feel about the state of the world today?
3.
Yes, I'm going to say 3.
And the answer is 3.
Yeah.
You guys nailed it.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about the state of the world?
I think
the world feels today exactly like a world would feel just before a nuclear war.
Thanks.
That's the way I feel. I feel like we're
After the break.
I feel like we're in the pre-war years right now. That's why I'm going to define the years that we're living in. These are the pre-war years.
Listeners to this show know that my chief barometer for the health of a culture or the health of a civilization is marriage.
Yeah.
And there isn't any.
Yep.
I mean, obviously there are some. There are a heck of a lot of marriages here at Catholic Answers, but we're in a bubble here.
Yeah, I think that's actually, I agree with that measurement. That's
marriage is lower than ever.
Look at marriage, see how it's doing. Yeah.
And among Catholics.
Yeah.
Baptisms are lower than ever. Funerals are, again, I point people to the pillar. They're great. Who's the guy who does
Maybe fewer people are dying. Maybe that's why funerals, they're not having funeral masses because they're living.
The average age of the population is going up because there are fewer babies. Yeah. The things that you could positively measure a civilization
by. They don't look good.
No, it's very bad.
How about the state of the USA? We'll do this one before we go to the break. Where do you think our listeners said? The current state of the United States of America on a scale of 1 to 10, our listeners said?
I'm going to also go 3.
Yeah, I'll say 3 as well.
And the answer is 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which seems optimistic to me, but all right.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got very positive listeners.
St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 quotes Isaiah, which might be quoting another source. I don't know. But the line is, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And it speaks to a certain despairing attitude where it's like, well, life is meaningless, so I might as well fill it with as many temporary fleeting pleasures as I can. And I think we see that around us.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it all over.
Right.
Going back to the housing thing, I've experienced that impulse of like, well, why be prudent with my money if I'm never going to own a home? Like, if I can't save up for anything meaningful, why not go out to a nice restaurant? Why not, you know, splurge here? Because you can't buy the big ticket item. Well, likewise with life. If you can't strive for the great good of sanctity and have it mean anything and people don't believe it does, then you're like, well, why not give in to this temporary fleeting pleasure?
Well, I can see in Kansas City, Joe, where you've got really, really good beef that you would be tempted to go out and eat well.
Yeah.
So, Cy, in the original Trump campaign, he had the slogan, Make America Great Again.
Yeah.
And it sounded really neat and everything. But what was really, in fact, contained in that word great? So I think what was contained in it was an understanding of ourselves, that we were financially prosperous, that you could have this thing called the American dream, which is a phrase I loathe, because it's all about prosperity or material prosperity, but what did you know that we were a powerful nation, that we had a 600-ship navy? I mean, what did that mean? What does it mean, make America great again? Whatever it meant, and none of these things are the way that I would say a nation is great. It certainly didn't mean we're going to start writing wonderful books along the lines of Flannery O'Connor or Walker Percy, or start making films like Frank Capra or something like that. But whatever it meant, that is not returning. It's not returning. Now, what is coming could, in fact, be quite exciting. The little platoons in different parts of Middle America.
What does that mean, the little platoons?
You know, little communities, little places like Joe Heschmeyer's parish.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing
you see this.
And the adjacent school, the Chesterton Academies. They have a Chesterton Academy,
yeah.
and then frankly, all of the network there that Dale Alquist has got going. with those Chesterton academies that are really replacing sort of moribund parochial schools.
But would you say that this...
don't want to give the impression I'm not hopeful. I am. But I just think in that word, great, was a kind of a fiction to begin with. And that's not returning. But it's quite possible something better is coming. It's just not going to be... We're going to be, you know, the superpower or whatever. Well, we're going to make Marvel Comics blockbuster movies.
Because I do think that phrase "Make America Great Again" is amorphous in the way that all political statements are designed to be amorphous, because it can contain multitudes. Mm-hmm. And among those that I think there are people who want America to be good again, and. Mm.
That's something different.
I think one thing that no politician is going to say is the truth, that we have become an immoral people. We live immoral lives. We advocate immorality.
Jimmy Carter tried that.
Yeah, but no, he did. Malaise is different than immorality. People go, well, when were we ever a moral country? And okay, yeah, you can say that, but there's such a thing as the normal grinding immorality of every human society, and then there's a slide into an active kind of decisive immorality, and I think we are more or less complete in that slide.
We certainly are, and in fact, I've been spending time with my folks, and my father is dying right now, but he talks a great deal about this. He's 89, and he did live in America when it really was a wonderful place to live, and people did live good lives and stayed married and worked hard and had children and looked after one another. It certainly was. It's, I'm not saying that it was a perfect nation. It always had kind of this Enlightenment Protestant thing at the very beginning.
Right.
But that's not what we have now. Not even remotely close.
No, like people.
I think part of the issue is the word "again." So if we have the debate about what do we mean by great and make America great again, there's also the debate about what do we mean by again. Like if great means good and some variations of it, how much should this be a campaign to recover what was lost? And how much should it be building a new thing that's pleasing to God and a better place? Because I think it's both true. Things have gotten markedly worse in a lot of ways, and that we don't want to glamorize the sometimes horrific events of the past, especially for non-white Americans.
That's certainly true, Joe. But there's a way in which even the grotesque evils of, say, the 19th century, slavery, and then the attacks on the native people of the Americas, and all mm-hmm. If you took the task that Chris that you just gave about seeking with your life to glorify God or to please God, people were getting it wrong. I mean, we all get lots of things wrong. Yeah. But today, very few people would say that the point of my life is to please God. In 1850, many more percentage-wise would have said it. That were there massive social failures? Were there failures even to get right what it means to please God? Yes, but there's a difference between a person who has that as a goal and a person who doesn't even know that that can exist as a goal.
Very few Christians, people who call themselves Christians,
right,
would say the purpose of my life is to please God.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking with someone who I knew from Catholic school who was saying how this weird guy she had talked to said that his goal in life was to be a saint. And even at the time, I was like, "Oh, that seems like a good answer. Like, what other goal would be worth it?"
And this Where's was Patrick Coffin when you need him? What else is there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's right. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Like that, we should take that very seriously. So, yeah, I take that point. There's
but
a difference
for whales.
Between people who tried and failed, and those who aren't even trying at all because they don't believe it's an attainable goal.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll rate the world's church leaders. Yes, we did that. We asked our listeners to rate the leaders of the Catholic Church. We're going to share those ratings. Boy, we're really just sowing peace and harmony everywhere we go, aren't we? We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live, Flannel Panel, end of the year show right after this.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Have you ever wished you could listen to EWTN on a local radio station? Maybe our Lord is speaking to your heart to help make that happen. Don't let a lack of experience hold you back. Find out how you can help start a Catholic radio station where you live, powered by the truth of the church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming. Email Steve at this address, radio@EWTN.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, joined by the flannel panel, Joe Heschmeyer and Chris Check. Each year, we end the year by polling our listeners about how they felt about the year now deceased. No, that's not the way you say it, but the year
demised.
Now passing. And we share the answers with you and with them, and we get their comments on what they make of those answers. We've gone through a lot, but the big items are yet to come. And I am trying to get this phrase "Happy Old Year" to catch on as the thing we say on the last day of the year, because we have a thing to say.
So far,
I think it's got a lot of people. It's catching on. It's on fire on social media.
Your words on fire?
No, my words not on fire. That's trademarked. Don't say that, Joe. What are you trying to get me fined by the FCC? They do very fine work. They do very, very fine work. Word on fire. The FCC also does fine work. Yes, everyone listening at the FCC, you do fine work, and we appreciate the work you do. You have kept us from swearing for the entire year. Hey, if you like what you hear on Catholic Answers, and even if you don't like what you hear on Catholic Answers, but you want to support it, you can do that as the end of the year approaches by going to Catholic.com. There's a little page that will pop up saying, hey, would you like to give to us? And you can just answer yes and give. Go to Catholic.com as you do your year-end giving, as you're considering your year-end giving. We would be very grateful if you would consider us at Catholic.com.
Good time, Cy, to join the 315 Society that you've been talking about.
Right.
If you go to Catholic.com and go to the donate page, it will explain to you how to become a monthly giver. And that's what our 315 Society is. Even $10 a month is a huge help to us. 100 is great, too. Or look perhaps at joining one of the giving levels in our president's circle. Those are the major givers of $1,000 or more who really make it possible for us to plan for the future, take on new projects, and grow as we continue to grow and reach more people with the gospel and the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. So please, my folks, it's the end of the year. Maybe you've got one more gift that you need to make square with the IRS or whatever it is. Or frankly, you just love the work of Catholic Answers and you want
to. We don't care why.
And you want to see it spread. I ask you this, if you could write a check for $1,000 or $100 and you know a soul would come into the Catholic Church for that, would you do it? Of course you would. And that's what we do.
Catholic.com. There's a little pop-up window that'll pop up and you can just click on that.
Yeah.
Catholic.com. All right. How would you rate the leadership? That's the question we asked now. How would you rate the leadership of? And we gave them 2 choices. Oh, well, no, 10 choices, 1 to 10. But we asked this about 2 entities.
2 questions with 10 possible answers.
How would you rate the leadership of Pope Francis? Our listeners. Now, you're trying to think, what do our listeners think in the year 2023? Now, I need to say something right here. This entire poll was closed before the recent blessings controversy erupted. And so you keep that in mind. The entire thing was closed. People had not heard of that yet. Of that Advent blessing had not yet dropped for us all. And so on a scale of 1 to 10, how did our listeners rate the leadership of Pope Francis?
So you know the difference between like a mean score and mode?
Literally like, don't know the statistics. Difference. But it does sound like a fun thing to talk about on the radio. So
okay, yeah. So in stats, you have 3 different categories.
Oh,
you've got
good.
The median
this is
number.
Be fun. Yeah.
You've got the mean, which is the average, and then you have the mode. And
right.
The reason I say this is
yeah.
I'm going to choose a number in the middle, but I don't think it's because a lot of people chose numbers in the middle. I think it's because a lot of tens and ones balanced each other out.
Ah, okay.
And gotcha. So if you were to say what was the mode, I would say probably either 1 or 10.
Ah,
but
I
what
see.
What is the average? I'm going to say a 6, but that might be – it's hard to tell because based on people in the internet comments, you'd think like 3. But I think the less angry people just don't comment as much, but they will take a poll.
All right. How would you rate the leadership of Pope Francis? Joe says our listeners came in at a 6. Is that what your final answer is?
Yes, that's my final answer. All right. I'll probably do a Chris tap dance afterwards.
And Chris, could you explain obscure statistical theory and then give your answer?
This is mathematics from high school. I'm not sure this. I'm sorry if you didn't go to a good school. But.
Oh, wait. We're coming up on the break. Quick, Chris, your answer.
4.
A 4.
Yeah.
All right. Here it is. I am resisting giving it out because it's such a precious piece of news. The whole world is waiting for this answer. Catholic Answers listeners rated the leadership of Pope Francis a 3.
Wow. Oh. I'm killing you, Joe.
You are killing.
Well, whoa.
I like that you're taking everything on that.
I don't think
the
main takeaway of this is that you got it closest to right. The main takeaway is that's a terrible number.
It is.
That's a terrible number. And the next one is, how would you rate the leadership of the U.S. bishops? We'll do that when we come back. But I need to get some reaction from you to the fact that even before the blessings controversy, our listeners went with 3 for the Vicar of Christ. What's going on here? We'll be right back with that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answers' own Carlo Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carlo's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join.
Guest Week wraps up as we ring in the new year.
You can join us Monday on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check. Cy Kellett, that last one is me. We're the flannel panel. We wear flannel. We talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective, and we go on cruises. We're going on a cruise in June, June 29th.
It's a cruise pilgrimage.
A cruise pilgrimage.
Truly,
that's what I meant
we
to say.
Are going to the most Catholic region of North America.
You're disrespecting me right now.
Sorry.
Totally disrespecting. Not
including California.
You've just come way down in the points
not
for disrespecting
California.
The host.
We're going to see the tomb of Kateri Tekakwitha.
Yeah, and we'll go to St. Anne de Beaupré.
We'll see the Plains of Abraham.
Why do you pronounce French words as if you're making fun of the French? Why are
okay,
you?
Can I tell
why
you?
Why do you do that?
Can I tell you where I perfect?
I mean, it's a good habit. I just wonder why you do
I just
want to
tell
it.
You where I perfected my French accent.
Yes.
You want to guess?
I think I already know, but
Peter Sellers movies.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Pepe Le Pew.
No, but, the Pink Panther. Yeah. Do you have it ruined?
Pepe Le Pew, one of the great French men of our time. All right. Look, we rated the Pope. We asked people to rate the Pope on a scale of 1 to 10, his leadership. How would you rate the leadership of the Pope? And it came out of 3. I want a quick comment because I'm going to move on to...
Share the information we got over the break, though.
Well, Darren says that the maximum, the highest score any of our listeners gave was a 4, which...
Which is shockingly low.
That's shocking. And
I mean, I was convinced there were going to be people who were just saying Pope Francis... I mean, because this was 2 or 3 years ago, you would have people who were just diehard. Yeah, all misunderstand him.
I think people are very frustrated with the leadership of the church. I don't know if the synod and the synodality made it worse. I don't know if we're making it worse. I hope we're not making it worse. But, I mean, you have to ask yourself some pretty grim questions about why would it be that low?
Lack of any kind of serious discipline of the German bishops, the not well explained, frankly, the not explained at all removal of Bishop Strickland. The condescending remarks of the nuncio to the American Episcopacy.
That was silly, but that wasn't
the
Pope.
Yeah, I guess if you were to ask him, what do you think of Catholics in America? It doesn't seem like we're going to score higher than a 4 on his list either.
Do you think it's because most of our listeners are in the U.S.? Not most, but a lot of the highest.
I would put it like this. If you're a serious Catholic and someone tells you, hey, big news out of the Vatican today, are you excited? Are you happy?
Are you
saying, oh, I can't wait to see what the Vatican has said now?
No, you're worried.
I can't wait to see what the Pope has said. It's just like, oh, great. Yeah. What is it going to be? And I think
who was convicted of what?
Year after year after year of scandal or confusing document, or even if all of it is perfectly explicable, if you explain it in such and such a way,
people are tired
of it. Yeah. And they don't want, and it didn't feel like this in the past. Now, some of that may be a change in the media landscape. Some of it may be a change in social media. And maybe Pope Francis is kind of the victim of the fact that there's just everyone has an opinion on everything and people are more divided.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just don't think you saw the same number of scandals and confusing documents.
I'm going to tell you.
I'm going to propose a different answer. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, here's a word that did not exist prior to this pontificate.
What?
Pope-splainer.
Oh, yeah, Pope Slater.
Right. We get called that all the time because we try not to fuel the flames. So,
you shouldn't fuel the flames. I mean, Joe, you should not fuel the flames of discontent with the Pope. I mean, there's always legitimate criticism of every Pope. But if you're out there fanning the flames of discontent with the Pope, you're making an error. Don't do that.
Yeah, I want to give a word to that. And this is something in defense of what I see as Catholic Answers' mission in some way. Like, we don't want to downplay or deny or illegitimate authentic concerns and troubles and everything else.
Sure.
But we also don't want to just make them worse by making people more panicked or upset or anything else. I mentioned earlier, you know, my wife's a marriage and family therapist. And when people come to her with marital problems, her job isn't like, oh, what an awful person. Let's just, you know, build on. But neither is it to pretend the problems don't exist.
Right.
Like, you have to acknowledge them and then say, great, what can we do here? And how do we make the best of this situation? Well, likewise, I'd see our job as somewhat similar of saying, yeah, there are real problems here. How do we address that in an honest way? And we would get, I'll tell you, we'd get a lot more views, a lot more clicks, and a lot more money if we took either the extreme of just out and out, everybody's misunderstanding the Pope, or just constantly bashing on the Pope and just getting people's irascibility. Because...
But have you?
You see the people who do that, and it's an easy way to make a lot of money.
Have you ever noticed?
I'm not saying that they're bad people.
If you go to the Gallup poll and you say, "What was Dwight Eisenhower's favorability rating?" and then you do John Kennedy's favorability rating, presidents generally had favorability ratings in 60s, 70s%. I mean, people really liked Ike, and to quote a phrase. And
I mean, George Bush Sr. had 90. No, sorry, George Bush Jr. had 90%.
Yeah, but if you look at the average over the course of a presidency, nobody since Lyndon Johnson has an average over the course of their presidency that comes anywhere near Ike or John Kennedy. And so it seems like there's a general depression of people's sense of the quality of leaders. We don't like our leaders as much
Harry
as we
Truman
used to.
Was unpopular, but you're right.
Yeah.
I just pulled up the Gallup numbers. Eisenhower averaged 65%, Kennedy 70%. Even Nixon was at 49%.
Yeah.
Johnson was at 55%. Whereas we have not crossed 50 since, I mean, Clinton was the last one. He was at 55%. It's been 49.4, 47.9, 41.1. And I don't know what Biden's at, but
so I would guess, seen a poll my guess would be that if you could do a poll of Pope Pius XI, it would be higher than any modern or contemporary pope. It'd be higher than John Paul. It would be higher than Benedict. It would be higher than Francis. That there's a general depression of people's views of leaders.
And partly because people are becoming more divided. And so even a very good leader isn't going to appeal to both sides.
Right. Well, let's check in on the U.S. bishops. How would you rate the leadership of U.S. bishops on a scale of 1 to 10 Catholic Answers listeners? Let's start with you, Chris. Where do you think our listeners rated the leadership of U.S. bishops?
I'm going to say 5.
Okay.
But it's probably high.
I can't believe you always try to give at least 2 or 3 numbers. So you've hit several. But Joe, where would you rate the U.S.?
I was going to say 5, but I'll take 4. I think either if it's 4 or 5, it should be higher.
How would you rate the leadership of U.S. bishops? Our listeners gave a 3, and the maximum was 4. It's the exact same that Pope Francis got.
I agree with Joe here. I think that's unfair. And I actually think, although the American episcopacy has many things to answer for, grave things in the past couple of decades, that there has been a concerted effort by that body towards responsible leadership of the church in America. And
the U.S. bishops are like cable companies. Everybody hates them, but they're not nearly as bad as they were in the 90s.
Wow. Thomas, that needs to be a tweet. What Joe just said needs to be a tweet. Tweet that out. Yeah, you need to tweet that out. I don't care if you heard it. You need to tweet it out.
As a body, it's getting better.
You're more positive about the U.S. bishops than people. But there's
some very good bishops in the U.S. Bishops Conference. Yeah. I think they're often not the ones that make headlines. And a lot of times when people think about the bishops as a collective, they're thinking about like the USCCB meetings where they vote and maybe give some statement nobody reads. But that's not, I think, how you would judge the effectiveness of the bishop, because that's a small and largely irrelevant part of his job.
No, you judge him how he manages his see. And I'm gonna say one here that probably is not on the radar of most of our listeners, but there are great things happening there, and it's Charlotte, South Carolina, or is that North Carolina?
North Carolina. They have the largest parish in the country.
They have the largest parish in the country. They have a superb seminary that is packed and run by an absolutely first-rate, virile, pious, intelligent and wise rector who also owns a couple of large dogs. And the man that...
I'm scared of this person right now.
They're like Rottweilers or something that sort of follow him around.
Who is this maniac you're describing?
The priest who is who runs the school system for the Charlotte Diocese. And the bishop's name is escaping me right now. He's kind of just...
Is it not Jurgens?
Yeah, that's it. It begins with a J. Yeah, he's sustained on it, but he's doing a superb job. Bishop Condorla in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where our friend Carlo is on the front lines with them, and the good work that Deacon Harrison Garlick, the chancellor there, is doing for Bishop Condorla. There are great things happening there.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of really good bishops where Catholics are a tiny minority. It seems like you're not named.
Oh, Lincoln, Nebraska has a heavy Catholic population and the great Bishop Conley there. But you're right, up in Portland, Oregon, where the great Archbishop Sample is. Yeah.
And we have to take the break. And there are really big stories to get to, so I have to move on from this. I apologize if I cut that off too quickly, but we got to take the break. We'll be back with the big survey questions, the ones you wait all year to hear the answer to, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Hey, this is Michael O'Neill, the Miracle Hunter. I'll be delving into the fascinating world of miracles and taking you on a hunt that explores the greatest mysteries and marvels of the Catholic Church. I'll be examining what constitutes a miracle, how miracles are investigated and approved, and the role they play in the lives of the faithful. We'll look at the miracles of the Gospels and early Christianity, considering the claims of the miraculous in our own modern age.
The Miracle Hunter, tomorrow at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy Old Year and almost Happy New Year in a couple days. It's the flannel panel, but it's a special flannel panel. It's the year in review. We surveyed our listeners and we asked them to rate things, to give us names on various questions like who's the Catholic person of the year, what's the big story of the year. There's a section where we ask them to rate on a scale of 1 to 10 how much they paid attention to the general news stories this year. Now it's the section where we ask them to rate on a scale of 1 to 10 how much they paid attention to Catholic news stories this year. So let me throw them out there. We're going to have to go through these somewhat quickly. So if there's one you really want to comment on, let me know. Because I don't want to get to in a situation where I can't do the big story of the year or the Catholic person of the year, the one that everybody waits for to see if, once again, it will be Father Mike Schmitz. Let's go to, all right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did our listeners pay attention to this story, the new head of the Dicastery for Doctrine in the Vatican? How much did they pay attention to it?
Probably not nearly as much before December.
Yeah, right. This all happened. This poll was closed before the big news on blessings. But
I'll say 4 at the time.
I'm going to say 6.
It was a 3. People didn't care about the new head of the Dicastery of Doctrine.
They should have.
Pope Francis's health issues. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did our listeners pay attention to Pope Francis's health
issues?
I'm going to
say 6 on that one.
I'm going to say 3.
That was a 4. There weren't that many health issues. He had a few problems, but all right. The synod on synodality. How much did you pay attention to it? We asked our listeners how much did you pay attention to the synod on synodality on a scale of 1 to 10. What would you say our listeners said, Joe?
3.
2.
6. They gave it a 6. They paid attention. They were interested in it. All right. Eucharistic Revival, how much did you pay attention to it on a scale of 1 to 10?
5.
8.
7.
Oh.
Yeah. That they paid attention to that as well.
I don't know that you're winning, Chris. I think I might be winning this one.
It's not about
Darren's
winning and losing.
Score.
It's about
entirely.
It's about enlightening the listeners with your incisive commentary.
My wife always tells me not to have my kids race to the car because she doesn't want them to like be pitted against each other all the time, and that's just not how it's going to go.
Winning.
I would say being pitted against my brothers and sisters brought out some of the best qualities that I currently have.
Winning isn't.
There's got to be some good ones in there.
Certainly, my food hoarding has been. All right, the Eucharistic Revival, they gave a 7. Maybe it'll be higher in the coming year because we have the big Eucharistic Congress coming up. And if you have a chance to go to Indianapolis for the big Eucharistic Congress, I would invite you to go. In the history of the United States, Eucharistic Congresses have played an important part. One of the things that happens at a Eucharistic Congress is Jesus shows up. If the church will have a Eucharistic Congress, Jesus comes, and amazing things happen. And
Joe Heschmeyer will be there.
And Joe Heschmeyer will be talking, but still come.
And Trent? We have two there, right?
We might do the radio show from there. We don't know yet. Is EWTN going to be broadcasting there? Will they let us use the booth? I don't know. Tom Price, give us a call. We want to come. The German defiance of Pope Francis on a scale of 1 to 10, where did our listeners come down on? Whether
9.
They paid attention to it.
8. Paying attention and interest and enthusiasm are two different words here, and I think they get conflated in this survey. I think that—
Every year, you complain about the survey. I just want to throw that out there. Like it's, and that's a personal thing. I make these
surveys. I think I'm going to win the most important thing, who is your most respectful of psychology.
I'm going to say 8.
Thank you, Joe.
8.
How much did our listeners pay attention to the German defiance of the Pope this year on a scale of 1 to 10, Joe?
I said 9, but...
you said 9 already, and you said 8, yeah. And the answer is 7.
Oh, I'm winning.
It got a 7.
9. No, that's just saying no in German.
That's the thing is, if they pick 9, maybe they were just saying not at all, right?
Yeah, exactly. We got to stop asking Germans about their own.
I love a good multilingual pun, Joe. You know me. I love a good multilingual
German puns
pun.
Are the worst.
It's still okay to make anti-Teutonic humor.
It is, yes.
Yeah, you,
yes.
Can, you can still make fun of
it. There hasn't been a Teutonic shift yet.
A Teutonic shift. You have to know geology to get that. That's that pun. All right, Pope Francis confronting American Catholics, including bishops and cardinals. When I wrote the survey, this was actually a bigger thing than it is currently. But how much did our listeners pay attention to Pope Francis confronting American Catholics, including bishops and cardinals?
Five.
Six.
Ocho.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, it's eight.
Dang, you gotta go from German to Spanish.
Sí, se puede. All right.
The one phrase you know.
No, I know other Spanish phrases.
Con peso.
¿Dónde están los donuts? I know that. All right, what question am I doing now, Darren? Oh, we should do the big news story of the year. We should do...
Bill's trying to call in. You should know this is a pre-record, so he is safely at home. You cannot correct his Spanish.
No, and I wouldn't listen anyways. I wouldn't listen to you anyways. I have my own brand of Spanish. All right. The big news story of the year, and people could pick anything, anything they wanted. And so it's not just the big Catholic news story of the year. What was the big news story of the year for Catholic Answers listeners? You can pick anything that happened in the news. This is not good. You are not picking anything.
I am flummoxed. I want to say... Yeah, maybe the German bishop's disobedience. This is more just a lack of an answer because I can't come up with anything really clear.
Yeah, totally
of everything that happened on the planet Earth this year, you think that the big story for Catholic Answers,
for Catholic Answers listeners
is the German bishops?
Oh, you know what? Probably the Israeli attack in October.
Chris? Would you say?
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Again, recency bias on this. Nobody remembers what happened in March.
When did people take the...
They took the survey in December, and it ended probably the 19th or 20th of December, somewhere around there, Darren. It was by far the Israel-Hamas war. And so in part, I'm sure, because of the horror of it, and in part, I'm sure, because it was late in the year.
I mean, it very much is a live issue, right?
Yeah, it's still, right. And then there were a lot of Catholic things that people chose. Pope Francis, just by name, was one. So one person chose Trump is real. I don't know if they were telling us. They just wanted to tell us that. Or Roe versus Wade got
like
some votes.
Billboard about God you see in the Midwest.
The billboard of what?
It's like a Trump is real is like just the Jesus is real billboards you see about God.
Oh, like, okay.
It takes on a whole weirder. Anyway, go ahead.
I mentioned these other things more or less in passing because the Israel-Hamas war was overwhelmingly the number one choice of our listeners for the story of the year. We have a similar kind of overwhelming winner in the Catholic Person of the Year. Now, this does apply, and this is a big one. We give this out each year to Father Mike Schmitz, but I think 2 years in a row, Darren will remind me. I'm correct about what I'm about to say, right? 2 years in a row, the Catholic Person of the Year. I always want to repeat that. 2 years in a row, the Catholic Person of the Year was guy who threw the Pachamama in the river. That was the answer. Guy who threw the Pachamama in the river.
Alex something or other.
No one knew his name.
His name is Alex.
They just said guy who threw the Pachamama in the river. So we do not prompt people in any way. The question is, please tell us your choice of
those
the Catholic person of 2023.
All voted for Strickland. All of those, like Strickland, all of the Pachamama.
Strickland is my guess as well.
And is that yours, Joe?
Okay.
The Catholic Person of the Year, by a wide margin, Bishop Joseph Strickland.
Yeah.
Any comments on that? Any thoughts on that? I mean, again, recency. If you had done this in January, it would have been Cardinal Pell because he had just died. Or, if you did it in June, it would have been, I don't know, somebody else.
The removal of a bishop from his diocese is a very unusual event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the bishop next door here, Bishop Fenn, was asked to step down after he had initially said he wouldn't, and then at the Pope's, I think, very strong urging, did to avoid that kind of situation. because he didn't want the kind of scandal of a pope removing a bishop without a really clear canonical cause. Now, can the pope do that? Yes.
Sure.
But when it doesn't happen, it is scandalous. I mean, I think it's something people were kind of reeling from, regardless of how they felt about Strickland. And I've met him once, and he was extremely kind.
Very sweet man.
I would just like to say, I continue with my theory of the case, and this involves everything on earth. It falls under this theory of the case. I think that Pope Francis does not know the United States, and his advisors do not like the United States. And I think in general that means he does what his advisors say, and he gets very bad advice on the United States. I'm not saying that to criticize the Pope. The popes are not required to know every country and every people. I just think that those who advise the Pope, clearly, including the nuncio to the United States, do not like America, and they're advising the Pope, and the Pope, not knowing us very well, takes their advice.
The second is certainly true. How much he knows... I'm probably less sanguine than you.
I mean, he didn't speak English when he became Pope. So in that sense, it means he'd been getting his stuff filtered through Latin American news sources and the like, which in the same way that our perspective of the world is very skewed being in America, the perspective of America outside of America is going to be a very different sort of thing as well. I mean, look, as much as I like so many things Bishop Strickland has said and done, there are times where he, I think, did put his foot in his mouth, didn't make things easier for himself. And I think it's fair to be both critical of that and still think like, yeah, I'd rather probably have bishops that err in that direction than the ones you just never hear from.
Look, so
because I think there's a lot of bishops who are just quiet to avoid saying the wrong thing.
It would have been very easy for the Holy Father to say to Bishop Strickland, assuming the two spoke, and I gather the nuncio told him, I feel quite confident the Pope didn't call him, but it would be very, very easy for the nuncio to say, Pope Francis would ask you to close down your Twitter and concentrate on your diocese.
Yeah.
And he would still be the Bishop of Tyler, yes.
Right.
Bishop Tyler, the Bishop of Strickland, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, Joe, popes can remove bishops at will. You never get the full story, but the
well,
fact
we
is,
certainly did not get no, the you story get the, here.
And right. that personnel matters. You don't always have a right to the full story. But I think my general theory of the case holds, and that is the Pope does not know the United States, and his advisors do not like the United States.
I guess I'd just say this. Like, I've been in organizations where there were firings, and from the outside, sometimes those firings looked more unjust than they were inside.
Yeah.
So given that, I'm not accusing Strickland of absolutely anything. I'm just trying to withhold judgment to say, like, yeah, we were pretty intentionally kept in the dark on all of this.
Right. So
And so I don't have a lot to intelligently comment on.
Some other bishops that were named for Catholic Person of the Year. I'm just going to go through some people who were named.
Corleone.
Bishop Barron, Cardinal Raymond Burke. Also Father Mike Schmitz, not a bishop, but a priest.
Yet.
this papacy.
Father Mike Schmitz did pretty well. But people clearly had feelings about Bishop Strickland. He's number one by a long shot.
Also, I hear about him more than any other bishop when I'm on the road. And people
want to know about
him. Talk about how much they admire and like him.
Jimmy Akin got votes. Trent Horn got votes. I got one vote, but
that was me. That I voted.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, maybe I got two votes. I'm pretty sure I voted for myself.
I'm a member of the 315 Society.
Me too. Yeah. It's a good thing. I'm also a member of Radio Club.
Yeah, I don't take any polls. I'm a member of the society, but I'm not going to get tracked by the government.
Oh my goodness. Thank you very much for that. Well, I enjoy doing flannel panel with you. I'm glad we're going on a cruise. CatholicAnswersCruise.com, promo code Pope Peter. And thank you both for the opportunity to do these flannel panels.
Who won?
Strickland. He was number one with a bullet.
No. The more important
question. Who got the most correct answers and who was the most respectful of you? There were two categories. I clearly won them both.
The most correct answers was the listeners of Catholic Answers. And the most respectful was Missy. She wins. And she gets the prize money.
No,
Darren, who was most respectful out of these two? Who was most respectful to me, would you say? He thinks Joe. Joe won. Joe won the most respectful.
Hey, my friends, please make an end of the year gift to Catholic Answers. Help us keep going through 2024. Visit Catholic.
We'll do better next year.
Visit Catholic.com.
We'll do better next year. If you give us money, we'll do better next year. Catholic.com. How was that? Was that a good pitch?
It was a little. It was a little on the face, or what do you call it?
On Front Street. Joe Heschmeyer, apologist at Catholic Answers, author of The Eucharist is Really Jesus and many other fine books. Thank you for being a member of the Flannel Panel. Thank you for all the good work you did this year, and we'll see you in the new year.
Thanks,
Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers and a member of the Flannel Panel, and wonder all around wonderful person. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, blessed Epiphany.
And Happy New Year. Now I'm
going
to start saying it.
And
start saying
Virgin
Happy
Mary.
Old Year. It's a great phrase. Happy Old Year. See you next year.